Okay, so we are holding Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph by the first Mishnah. Now we learned earlier that a mila is Deicha Shabbos, but only if it's Bizmana. We said if a mila is pushed off for any reason, then it's not Deicha Shabbos. And of course, also the mila has to take place on the Bris has to take place on the eighth day and not earlier. I'd said yesterday, by the way, or 2 days ago, something about what happens if the mila is done earlier or if it's done by night, and actually I'd gotten it backwards. We talked the other day in connection with Hatafas Dam Bris, that Amor writes that if the bris was done earlier than the eighth day, then you don't need to do Hatafas Dam Bris again, but if the bris was done at night, then you do. Before, when I'd said that a couple of days ago, I got that backwards. Anyway, so now the mission is going to talk about mistakes that can happen with that. A person who had two babies that he had to make a bris for. So it could be he himself, let's say it could be his wife had twins, could be he had two wives who gave birth around the same time, could be, for that matter, we're talking about a moel who has two babies that he's supposed to be doing a bris for. Echad lomul achar Shabbos for echad lomul b'Shabbos. One is supposed to be having his bris on Sunday, and the other one is supposed to be having his bris on Shabbos. V'shochach, and he forgot. He mauled the one that was supposed to be on Sunday, he mauled on Shabbos. So now it comes out, he didn't actually do a mitzvah, because the mitzvah of Bris Milah is on the eighth day, and now it's only the seventh day. So he was, it's called Toya Bidvar Mitzvah, which we're going to discuss in the Gemara. He was making a mistake in the course of, he thought that he was fulfilling a mitzvah, but the fact of the matter is, he didn't end up actually doing a mitzvah. So he ended up causing a wound, but not actually, which is one of the malachas of Shabbos, choyvel, as we've learned before, but no actual malacha was done. We learned, by the way, earlier in the Masechta, we had a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about the question of mekalkel b'chabura. If you wound a person or an animal, but in a destructive way. So not, you haven't accomplished anything constructive. Rabbi Shimon is still going to say that mekalkel b'chabura is chayev. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that that's potter, and you're only chayev if the chabura, like any other malacha, only if the chabura had some kind of constructive purpose. So over here, if we say, so applying that over here, if we say mekalkel b'chabura chayev, then that's why he's chayev. Even though the bris was not actually accomplished, nevertheless, though, he's still going to be chayev, like any case of wounding a person or an animal on Shabbos. If we say mekalkel b'chabura is potter, like Rabbi Yehuda says, then you would say that, then you would say that he's chayev over here, because after all, it did accomplish something in, like we just said, that Amal says he's not going to even need a tofes dam bris afterwards. The fact is, now the child is gemalit, even if it wasn't done the proper way, and therefore you can make him chayev. So again, he's going to be chayev chatas because he did a chabura and didn't actually accomplish a mitzvah, because the mitzvah would have been to do it on the eighth day and he did it on the seventh. On the other hand, echad lomul be'erev Shabbos ve'echad lomul b'Shabbos, what happens if the two babies, one of them is supposed to be having his bris on Friday and the other one on Shabbos, v'shochach u'molos shal erev Shabbos v'Shabbos, he mistakenly did the one that was supposed to be on Friday, he did on Shabbos. So now it was a valid bris, because after all, the baby is now 9 days old. Any time from the eighth or any time after the eighth is a valid bris, but the fact of the matter is that it's a bris which is not on the eighth day and is not Dercha Shabbos. So now you have a machlokas Rabbi Eliezer machayev chatas for Rabbi Shua Poiter. Rabbi Eliezer is going to make him chayev chatas because Rabbi Eliezer does not hold, as we're going to see in Gemara, of the concept of Tor B'Dvar Mitzvah. Rabbi Eliezer, as we're going to see in the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer does not hold of the concept that if you made a mistake, that you thought you were doing a mitzvah, and it turns out you didn't, that should make you potter from a chatas. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold of that, whereas Rabbi Yeshua does. So Rabbi Yeshua is going to potter him, so Rabbi Eliezer is going to be mechayev him, because the fact is, again, he did the kind of bris that is not Deicha Shabbos, because we're on the ninth day. And Rabbi Yeshua is going to patter him because, yeah, he wasn't supposed to do it, but after all, he was Toya B'Dvar Mitzvah, and unlike in the previous case, he actually accomplished a mitzvah this time. Because the fact is, now the baby has a valid bris, because any time, the eighth day or on, is a valid time for a bris. That was the first case of the Mishnah. Was where it was earlier, is where he was supposed to maul the baby on Sunday and mistakenly mauled it on Shabbos. That we're saying in the Mishnah, everybody agrees he's chayev. However, we're going to see in the Gemara that there are actually two or three different versions of the Mishnah and of the Machlokas over here. So the Gemara starts off, Rav Huna Masni Chayev, Rav Yehuda Masni Potter. Rav Huna's version of our Mishnah, of the Reisha of our Mishnah, is Chayev, like the way we have it. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda Masni Potter, Rav Yehuda's version of our Mishnah, had Potter in the Reisha. So in other words, Rav Huna Masni Chayev, the Tanya, because we learn in a Braisa, Rav Shimon Elazar, Loi Nechleku Rav Eliezer Rav Yeshua, Rav Eliezer, Elazar, it says here in the Gemara, it's supposed to be Eliezer, of course, Rav Eliezer and Rav Yeshua do not argue, Al Misha Hoyula Beis Tinoikis, about, again, what's written in front of us as the first case of our Mishnah, where there were two babies, where there were two babies, Echad Lomel B'Shabbos V'Echad Lomel Achar Shabbos. One was supposed to be mild on Shabbos, the other one after Shabbos. V'Shachach Molos Shal Achar Shabbos V'Shabbos. Mistakenly, he did the Sunday baby on Shabbos, which again is before the eighth day, so it's not yet the proper time for the bris. Shehu Chayev, that he's Chayev, so Rav Huna says, that Braisa is restating what it says in our Mishnah, that he's Chayev according to everybody. Alman Nechluku says Rav Shimon Elazar, what case did Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua argue about? Al Misha Hoyula Beis Tinoikis, we had two babies, Echad Lomel B'Erev Shabbos V'Echad Lomel B'Shabbos. One was supposed to be on Friday, one was supposed to be on Shabbos. V'Shachach Omolos Shal Erev Shabbos V'Shabbos, and he did the Friday one on Shabbos. Shehu Rabbi Eliezer, M'chayev Chatas for Rabbi Yeshua Poter. Rabbi Eliezer is going to make him M'chayev Chatas, as we had in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua is going to say he's Poter. So Rav Huna is saying, given that Braisa, that must be the correct wording in our Mishnah as well. That in the Reisha, where he did the Sunday baby on Shabbos, he would be Chayev according to everybody. Chayev Chatas according to everybody. And the Braisa continues, Rav Shimon ben Elazar continues, Ushnehem loylam duha elama avodas kechavim. Now, where do they get their respective opinions, Rav Eliezer and Rav Yeshua? They both get it from what the Torah tells us about Avodah Zarah. Namely, in Parashas Shlach, the Torah tells us that if a person worships Avodah Zarah b'shogeg, then they bring a korban. And from those psukim, we learn the general concept of what are the cases where a person brings a chatas, the kind of averis for which a person brings a chatas is the kind which, like Avodah Zarah, would make him chayiv koris if it was done b'mezid. That's the general rule. When is a person bringing a chatas for an avera that is chayiv for something? Good morning, Oral. Long time no hear from you. Oral Fligelman. Very nice. Okay. We're holding in the middle of Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, the end of the narrow lines. So again, Avodah Zarah is one of those Avedas that a person does it b'mezid. Well, if he does it b'mezid with Eidim V'Asroah, he's Chayiv Skila. But if there's no Eidim V'Asroah, he gets Kores. And therefore, and the Pasuk is telling us he brings a Chatas for it. And we learn from the Psukim over there by Binyan Av that the same thing is true for anything else. When is a person Chayiv Chatas? Only if it was something where if they'd done it b'mezid, they'd be Chayiv Kores. So now we're furthermore learning something else from that comparison to Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Eliezer Sava Kavod is Kachavim. So Rabbi Eliezer says the comparison is also when is the person Chayev Chatas if what he did is similar to Avodah Zarah in another way. Ma Avodah Kachavim Amar Rachman Loi Savid. With Avodah Zarah, the Pasuk tells and the Torah is telling us don't worship Avodah Zarah. V'chi Ovid Mechayev. And if he does worship Avodah Zarah, he's going to be Chayev. Hachinami Loi Shna. So the same thing over here. The Torah tells you don't do a bris that's not on the eighth day on Shabbos. And he did a bris that's not on the eighth day of Shabbos. Therefore, he needs to be Chayev. It was the ninth day, and the ninth day is already a kosher bris. Doesn't matter. Rabbi Eliezer, that's the thing. That's what we said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't care about Toya Bidvar Mitzvah. Yes, he accomplished a mitzvah, but nevertheless, the Torah told him, as we learned earlier in the Perek, that a bris that's on the ninth day or later is not Deicha Shabbos. Therefore, it wasn't Deicha Shabbos, and he had no business doing it. Ver Rabbi Yeshua would answer, Hosam Delav Mitzvah, Hocha Mitzvah. Yeah, but the difference is, over there, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, he worshipped Avodah Zarah b'shogeg. He didn't actually accomplish any mitzvah. Over here, the fact of the matter is he accomplished a mitzvah, so it's not really identical to worshipping Avodah Zarah. Okay, so all of that is for the Braisa that Rav Huna is quoting, and that is the version of the Mishnah, of our Mishnah that Rav Huna had in front of him. Rabbi Yehuda Masni Potter. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, learns in our Mishnah that in the Reisha, everybody would say he's Potter. The Tanya, we learn in another Braisa, Amar Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, so Rav Meir's version of the Machlokes is different, is almost the other way around than Rav Shimon Elazar's. So he's not a different Mishnah, but he holds a different version of the Machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So Rav Yehuda says, given that Stam Mishnah of Meir, therefore that Braisa is stronger than the previous one, and therefore we should. So fine. In other words, we have two versions out there of what Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua's argument is. We're trying to figure out which one is reflected in our Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if we find that Rabbi Meir has a different understanding of the Machloikas, then our Mishnah, Stam Mishnah of Meir, must be according to that version, and that would mean that in the Reisha would be saying Potter. So the Tanya, Amar Rav Meir, Loi Nechlaku Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yeshua al Misha Hoyu Lebeis Tinoikis. They don't argue about the case where there are two babies. Echad Lomo Be'erev Shabbos v'Echad Lomo B'Shabbos. One was supposed to be on Friday, one was supposed to be on Shabbos. V'Shochach U'Molos Shal Erev Shabbos V'Shabbos. He forgot and did the Friday one on Shabbos. Shu Potter. Everybody is going to agree that in that case he is Potter. Because the fact is a valid bris was done. It wasn't on the eighth day, fine, but at least a valid bris was done. Al man nechleku, what is the argument about? Al misha hoyle beis tinoikis, echad lomol achra Shabbos, echad lomol b'Shabbos. Now, actually, this is not the same as our Mishnah. We're gonna have soon a different version of what Rav Meir says, which more closely reflects what it says in our Mishnah. But what we're saying is over here, according to this Braisa, Rav Meir is saying that the Machloika, unlike in our Mishnah, where we had everybody agreed that in the case where the one where it was done early, he's chayev, and the Machloika says if he does it late, in the Braisa over here, Rav Meir is saying, everybody agrees that if he does it late, he's potter, and the Machloika says if he did it early. If he did the bris on the seventh day, mistakenly, because where he had two babies to do the bris in, one was supposed to be done on Sunday and the other one on Shabbos. He forgot and did the one from Sunday on Shabbos. Now we're going to have, says Rav Meir, here is where the machloikas is. Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatas for Rabbi Yeshua poiter. Rabbi Eliezer is going to be mechayev him. Even then, Rabbi Yeshua is going to patter him. So Rabbi Yeshua is going to patter him according to Rabbi Meir in both cases, both where it was the seventh day and where it was the ninth day. And again, Ushneim Loilamdura Elam Avodas Kachavim. Again, both of them are learning it from the comparison in the Torah to Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Eliezer Savar Kavodas Kachavim, namely Rabbi Eliezer holds it has to be similar to Avodah Zarah in order to be Chayev Chatas, because again, that's the general rule how we know what's Chayev Chatas and not. So ma avodas kachavim amar achman aloy savid v'chi avid mechayev. Again, avodah zarah, the Torah tells you don't do it. If he does it, he's chayev. Hachi nami loy shna. The same thing over here, it's no different. So again, when it comes to the bris that was done on the ninth day, fine, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say, okay, you weren't supposed to be doicha Shabbos, but at least fine, it's not as much loy savid, because you can do the bris anytime from the eighth day and on. Rabbi Yeshua, whereas Rabbi Yeshua would say, even in that case, he's potter, even though he ended up doing it on the seventh day, because Hosam loy torid mitzvah, because over there he's not occupied in the performance of a mitzvah. Hocha torid mitzvah, here he is occupied in doing a mitzvah, because after all, he has two babies to mal, and one of them is supposed to be today on Shabbos. So the fact that so in other words, Rabbi Yeshua would agree, you know, if you only have the one baby, and you mauled him, if you only had the one baby, and you mauled, and you were supposed to maul him on Sunday, and you did it on Shabbos, fine, Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you're chayev chatas over there, because you weren't totaled b'mitzvah on Shabbos itself. You should have known, I don't have any brisin to do. And then on Shabbos itself, I don't have any brisin to do, and therefore you can't call him totaled b'dvar mitzvah. But over here, where there are two babies involved, and one of them, he is supposed to be mechal Shabbos to do the bris, so the fact that by mistake he did the other one, he would still be potter. So only once he has one that he's supposed to be doing on Shabbos, then he can be called Torah in that one and in the other one. We're gonna revisit that point at the end of the Gemara, right before the Mishnah. That's the point. That's what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. By Avodah Zarah would be more similar to having one baby to do a bris, and you did it on Shabbos when you were supposed to be doing the next day. But over here where he's already Torah in doing the mitzvah. The proper mitzvah, because one of them, the time is today. So therefore, so he mistakenly did the one where there's no mitzvah. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yeshua is still going to patter him. Okay. So that's a second version of the Machloikas. And again, Rabbi Yehuda says that our Mishnah reflects that version, and therefore the Reisha has to be that he's potter. Because again, according to Rabbi Yeshua's version, You have, I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda's version, which is Reb Meir's, which is how we said Reb Meir holds, is you have a case where they both agree he's potter and a case where they're arguing whether he's chayiv or potter. Unlike Rav Huna's Braisa, which was according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, where you have a case where they both agree he's chayiv and then a case where they're arguing whether he's chayiv or potter. Okay. Now, Tony Rav Chia, Tony, we learn in a Braisa, Rav Chia, Rav Chia has a third understanding of the Machlokas. Within a different version of what Reb Meir says. Omer hoya Reb Meir. Reb Meir used to say as follows. Loi nechlku Reb Eliezer Reb Yeshua, al mi shehoyu lebeis tinoi. Because Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua do not disagree about the case of somebody who has two babies to mal, echad lomo be'erev Shabbos ve'echad lomo be'Shabbos. One is supposed to be on Friday and one is supposed to be on Shabbos. V'shochach ha'molos shal erev Shabbos ve'Shabbos. Mistakenly, he does the erev Shabbos one on Shabbos. Shehu chayev. According to this version, he would be chayev. Everybody would agree he's chayev on the ninth day. Now, the Gemara is going to ask what the logic of it is. The fact is, again, he did accomplish a mitzvah because the ninth day is already a valid time for a bris, so why should he be chayev? Right. Al-men nechlaku, what is the machlokas about? Al-misha hoyle beis tinoikas, echad lomol achar ha-shabbos ve-echad lomol ha-shabbos. One was supposed to be on Sunday, one was supposed to be on Shabbos. The shochach ha-molos shal achar ha-shabbos ve-shabbos. He forgot and did the after Shabbos one, the Sunday one on Shabbos. According to this version, Rabbi Eliezer, mechayev chapas for Rabbi Yeshua poiter, now is where Rabbi Yeshua is going to pater him, and Rabbi Eliezer is still going to be mechayev, So that's yet a different version. So now the question is, but what's the logic? Hashtag Rabbi Yeshua, Sefer, Deloika Ovid Mitzvah Poiter. Well, what's going on over here? In the Sefer, where he didn't actually accomplish a mitzvah because he did the bris on the seventh day, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to ponder him, Reisha Deka Ovid Mitzvah Machayev. What's the logic then in the Reisha where he actually did accomplish the mitzvah because it was on the ninth day, he should be Chayev? Amri Dvei Rabbi Yanai. So they answered in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, Reisha Kigun Shekodah Momol Shal Shabbos Ve'erev Shabbos. The Reisha of this last Braisa of Rabbi Chia is talking about a different case. All this time we're talking about where the two babies are still there now on Shabbos needing a bris. So he mixed up between the two babies, and he did, so for example, so the one that was, so in the case where one was supposed to be on Shabbos and the other one after Shabbos, so we're saying mistakenly he mauled both of them, and in the case of one that was supposed to be on Friday and one that was supposed to be on Shabbos, so we're talking about coming into Shabbos, the Friday one had not been done yet, for whatever reason, maybe the baby wasn't feeling well, maybe just he didn't have his knife, whatever it is exactly, so now on Shabbos, both babies are in front of us needing a bris milah, and he did the wrong one. We did both of them, as the case may be. Now, this last braisa is introducing a new wrinkle, which is he did the Friday one he already did on Friday. Comes Shabbos, and there's only one baby. On Friday, he mixed up both of them. All this time, we've been saying that he mixed up, that he did the two babies at the same time, which means one was in the right time and one was at the wrong time, early or late, as the case may be. Now we're talking about where he made two mistakes. He took the Shabbos, the one that was supposed to be on Shabbos, and did the bris on Erev Shabbos. Now comes Shabbos, and all he has left is the one baby who was supposed to be on Friday, and now he does that baby on Shabbos, a day late. So now, the difference is, Deloy Nitna Shabbos Lidochais, because in this case, that he had no permission to be Doicha Shabbos, because after all, there was no baby left whose time for the bris is today, because the one baby that was there, he already did, the one baby that was supposed to be today, he already did on Friday. So therefore, so now you can't call him Torah B'mitzvah, because again, there was no baby available that he was supposed to be maling now. Yeah. Sefer Nitna Shabbos Lidochas, as opposed to in the Sefer, we're talking about where both babies are still there. The one from Sunday has not yet had his bris. The one from Shabbos had not yet had his bris. He does the Sunday one on Shabbos. The question would be what happened if he did the Shabbos one already? What happens, let's say, so again, in that case, suppose that on Shabbos itself, he does the Shabbos one, then he does the Sunday one. So actually, there's a Gemara in Pesachim where Rabbi Yanai says, following what he's saying over here, that in that case, in fact, he would be potter also, because we can still call him toter b'dvar mitzvah, because again, or not really toter b'dvar mitzvah, but the point is, he already had permission to break Shabbos for the first baby, and therefore that sort of carries over to the second one, even though he wasn't supposed to be doing the second one that day. But the fact is, on the other hand, you have a Gemara over, you have an opinion in the Gemara over there that says that no, that if he did that, that the patur that we're saying over here would only work if first he does the one that was supposed to be on Sunday on Shabbos. So now you can call him toter b'dvar mitzvah, because the fact is he knows he has one that is supposed to be done today. And later on he's going to do it, as opposed to if he did the Shabbos one first, then in fact he would be chayev. Anyway, so that's the point. So Reisha, so in the Reisha, Deloy Nitna Shabbos Lidochas, Shabbos was not given over to be pushed off, because the one that was supposed to be on Shabbos was already done on Friday. Now on Shabbos, there is no baby left whose bris is supposed to be today, because the one who was supposed to be yesterday, Friday, you can't do him on Shabbos. You're supposed to have waited till Sunday, as opposed to the Sefer would be where both babies are having their bris on Shabbos. So again, whether he did the first one yet or not, as it was what the Gemara and Pesachim discusses, but the point is, at least Shabbos has been given to be pushed off, in the sense that there is a baby now, right now, whose bris needs to be done today. So that would be, so in other words, it comes out that this last Braisa is not really arguing with the previous Braisa that presents the opinion of Reb Meir. The two Braisas are giving us two different angles on what Reb Meir himself is saying. One, where both babies have yet to have their bris, and one where he made a double mistake and did one of them early and now is doing the other one late. Okay. Omele Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana, but Rav Ashi asked Rav Kahana, why in this case should we say that he's chayev, just because there's no baby right now for him that he's supposed to be maling on Shabbos? Reisha nami nitna Shabbos lidochas legabi tinoikas da'alma. After all, you have many other babies in the world that need their brisim on Shabbos. So you could say, in general, this Shabbos has been set aside for bris milah regarding those other babies. So if you're saying it has to do with tirda de mitzvah, then fine, we can understand. It's not his responsibility to do the brisim of those other babies. So you can't call him toter b'dvar mitzvah. But if you're using the logic, Rabbi Yana is using the expression over here, nitna Shabbos lidochos, or loy nitna Shabbos lidochos. Shabbos has been given to be set aside for the sake of the mitzvah of bris milah. Well, fine, this Shabbos has been set aside for that, because there are other babies in the world who are going to be having their bris in this Shabbos. That's the answer. The answer is Lagabre Lahai Gavra. The answer is Rav Kahana says, Lahai Gavra Mias Lo Isyehiv. Yeah, but you're not talking about in general that this Shabbos there's going to be a bris taking place somewhere in the world. You're talking about regarding this person. In other words, we are sort of back to the idea of tirda de mitzvah, even though we phrased it differently. He doesn't have any tirda de mitzvah right now in the case that's described in the reisha of this last braisa, because again, what's going on over here? The one that was supposed to be on Shabbos, he mistakenly did on Friday. So now at this point, he's supposed to know there's nothing left for me to do this Shabbos, because that's it. The one that I was supposed to do today, I accidentally did yesterday. The one that I was supposed to do yesterday, now I should know I have to be waiting until Sunday to do. So if he does it on Shabbos, you can't call him toter b'dvar mitzvah, and you can't call it nitna Shabbos lidochas regarding him. Therefore, he's going to be chayev. So that's what you asked. So you're asking about a tofes dam. So that's what I was saying at the beginning, is that Rama writes that if the bris mistakenly was done earlier than the eighth day, you don't need hatofes dam bris. On the other hand, if the bris was done at night, where bris is supposed to take place during the day, then the Rama says you would need hatofes dam bris. Okay. Mishnah says, Katan nimal l'shmoina l'tisha ul'asara ul'achad osa ul'yudbeiz like pachas v'layoser. Leaving aside the question of a baby's bris being postponed because the baby is sick or because they didn't have a knife or whatever, under normal circumstances, the baby's bris can take place on the eighth day of its life, the ninth, 10th, 11th, or 12th. Like pachas v'layoser, never more and never less. Never earlier and never later. What does that mean? Okay, how does this work out? Kedarka lishmona, the normal thing, of course, is the bris happens on the eighth day. Noilad l'bein hashmoshes. What happens if the baby is born bein hashmoshes between one day and the next? So now, So let's say the baby is born, Bein HaShemoshes, of Monday going into Tuesday. So now you can't be sure, should the bris be on Monday, but it might be too early, or should the bris be on Tuesday? Practically speaking, what do? You do it on Tuesday. So therefore, it comes out that it's potentially the ninth day since the baby was born. If we assume that the time when the baby was born was actually on Monday, where that the part of the day when it was born is still considered part of Monday, then it comes out the baby is having his bris the following Tuesday, which is the ninth day, which is in effect a day later. Actually, the Yerushalmi brings up a question. Why don't we say if he was born Bein HaShemoshes, why can't we do the bris Bein HaShemoshes and Manafshach either way? And the answer is the answer is basically because you can't time it exactly, because you can't time it so exactly that you're going to do the bris exactly seven times 24 hours after the baby was born, and not have that the bris is going to accidentally be done at night, which would be possible. So therefore, you just have to wait until the next morning. Okay. What about so then he's mild on the ninth day. Bein HaShemoshes shel Erev Shabbos. What if that Bein HaShemoshes when the baby was born is on Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos? So now you can't do, so again, you can't do the bris on Friday because maybe the baby was born on Shabbos. You can't do it on Shabbos because maybe it was born on Friday. It would be a late bris. So you have to postpone it to Sunday, which is the 10th day. So there you're up to 10. Yom Tov L'Achar HaShabbos. What happens if there's a Yom Tov on Sunday? You can't, you know, a bris shelo b'zmano is not doich a Yom Tov either. So then already the bris is, now you're already at the 11th day. Again, you got Friday, Shabbos, that's two. An entire week from Sunday to Shabbos is seven more, is nine so far. Then you have Sunday's Yom Tov, and Monday you're doing the bris. So that's the 11th day. One second. You're asking about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. Hold that thought a second. What if Sunday and Monday is the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Which, by the way, nowadays we can't have that kvias. The first day of Rosh Hashanah can't be on Sunday, but in those times they could have it. So if you have the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, nimul l'shneimoser, then the bris is going to have to be on Tuesday, which is the 12th. Now, you're asking, what about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias? You actually have a machloikas aposkim on that question. You have a machloikas rishonim. When the Mishnah mentions over here the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, is it because, in fact, when it comes to other 2 day Yom Tovim, you can do a postponed bris on the second day of Yom Tov? Because after all, it's only midrabbanan. It's only because minhag habesein biyadenu. Or is it that no, it wouldn't? You wouldn't be able to do it on any second day of Yom Tov either if it's a postponed bris. The only reason the Mishnah is mentioned in the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is because the Mishnah was composed in Eretz Yisrael, and that's the only 2 day Yom Tov they have there. Yeah, that's the point. So according to the first set of Rishonim, that is, most Yom Tovim, the second day is only Midrabanon, only because Minhag HaVaseinu Biyadeinu. Rosh Hashanah is special because it's Yom HaRichta. Therefore, you would have one din for Rosh Hashanah and a different din for other 2 day Yom Tovim. And according to them, if this happened and the second day came out on the second day of Yom Tov, on the second day of Sukkot or Pesach or what have you, then you would in fact do the bris on that day, according to them. On the other hand, other Rishonim take the view that no, it applies equally well to all 2 day Yom Tovim. The only reason the Mishnah is mentioning Rosh Hashanah, not because Rosh Hashanah is different than any others, but just because the Tana is in Eretz Yisrael, where the only 2 day Yom Tov is Rosh Hashanah. So you have a machlokas about it in Shulchan Aruch. Interesting point, by the way. There's the Tashbitz brings an idea that when it comes to the bris of a ger, he says, where anyway you have your choice what day to do it. He says you shouldn't do it on Thursday because we learned earlier in the Perek that the third day is particularly dangerous and you have to be mechal Shabbos if necessary. Don't do it in a way where to begin with you're putting him in a situation where you're going to have to be mechal Shabbos for him. So that would apply not only to the bris of a ger, it would apply to any postponed bris, actually. And actually, the Shach brings on that a question. In that case, then why is our Mishnah saying that you never have later than the 12th? Based on that, you would have a case where you postpone to as late as the 14th or 15th day. Suppose that Rosh Hashanah comes out on Tuesday and Wednesday. So then, again, the same thing. You can't do the bris on, the baby was born Bein HaShemoshes Monday going into Tuesday. So you can't do the bris on Monday, Erev Rosh Hashanah, because it might be the 7th day. Wednesday. You can't do it on either of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But according to that, you wouldn't be able to do it on Thursday, Tzum Gedalia, either, because you shouldn't be doing a postponed bris on Thursday, and also not on Friday for the same reason, and also not on Shabbos, obviously, and you're going to be postponing it to the Sunday after Rosh Hashanah. So he says, therefore, it shows. So the Shach says, therefore, it shows that this whole idea of that you shouldn't do a postponed bris on Thursday, heibzich nishton. There's no such thing, the Shach says. Different achronim talk about how to reconcile it. That nevertheless, maybe it's still that maybe the din is still a valid din, but nevertheless, and but it doesn't contradict our Mishnah. Okay. Yeah, so the Shach explains that again. We talked about before when he talked about a few days ago that some Rishonim learned that when we say the third day is dangerous, means even the third day. How much more so the first or second day? Yeah. So then, in that case, by that logic, yeah, you wouldn't be doing a postponed bris on Thursday or Friday. Okay. Reb Lev Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, explains in a couple of places in Torah's Lev Yitzchak that the deeper idea behind these numbers over here, he says, if you add up the numbers 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you come out to a gematria of 50. Among other things, that represents that's the gematria of the word me, where the Maimer, we say at a Bris Milah, mentions that the Rosh HaTevis of Milah come from the pasuk Mi Yala Lano HaShemaima. So the word me is associated with Bris Milah. And therefore, it's appropriate that the numbers over here, the days on which the baby is going to be mild, add up to that. Also, he says it's also gematria kol, where the word kol is associated with yisoid, ki kol b'shamayim of aretz. We say in davening, l'chashem agdulav agvurav atiferes, etc., where we list out all the spheres, and we say ki kol b'shamayim of aretz, kol representing yisoid. And the bris is that part of the body is, in fact, that is what yisoid is. As we say in Pasach Aliyah, yisoid siyuma de brisa, yisoid siyuma de gufa, ois bris kodesh, that yisoid is that part, which is the end of the body, the place where the ois bris kodesh is located. So therefore, very appropriately, the numbers over here represent the word kol, which represents yisoid. Okay. Continues the Mishnah, katan achola. Now, this is all talking about if the baby is healthy and just the bris had to be postponed because of Shabbos or Yom Tov or what have you. But if the baby, a different din, if the baby is sick, ein moel and oisei ad shiyavri, you don't do the bris until he's healthy, until he's well again. So the Gemara says, omashmul, chaltsato chama, what happens if a fever left the baby? In other words, the baby was had fever or some other kind of sickness. Now chaltsatu, it was extracted from him. In other words, like chalitza, exactly. Rashi says nishlafi menu acholi. The choli, the sickness, was like pulled out of him. The yotza migufa, and it went out of his body. So then Shmuel says, you can't do the bris on the day the baby becomes well. You have to wait another 7 days for him to fully recover. So, so now the question is, those 7 days, me in and mess less, when we say 7 days, does it mean full 7 days of 24 hours each, or does it mean 7 calendar days? In other words, the baby, let's say, recovered on Monday afternoon. Does it mean you have to wait until Monday afternoon the following week to do the bris? So he recovered, let's say, Monday afternoon at 3. So do you have to wait until Monday afternoon at 3 to do the bris? Or can you do it first thing Monday morning? A lot of times, days are calendar days, sure. Right, mix the same kakula. That's the question, yeah. Right. So Toshma, the Tony Luda, where we can prove from a brisa that Luda taught. Luda is the name of the Chacham. Yom Havra Ose Ki Yom Hivodai. The day that the baby recovers is like the day the baby was born. Meaning you have to wait just like you do with the day the baby was born. Now my lav, so wouldn't that mean my yom hivoldo loyba in and mesles? Now what happens on the day the baby is born? You don't need mesles. You don't say if the baby was born Monday at 3 o'clock that you have to wait with the bris in a normal case where the baby is not sick. You don't have to wait until Monday 3 o'clock to do the bris. You can do it first thing Monday morning. Yeah, because miktaseyim kakoloi. So therefore, after Yom Havra also labor in and mess less. So on the face of it, Luda's Braisa is saying the same thing. On the day the baby, if the baby recovers on Monday afternoon, then you only need to wait until Monday afternoon. Then you don't have to wait till Monday afternoon to do the bris. You can do it Monday morning. The Gemara says, "Loi, no, that's not what." So therefore, after Yom Havra also labor in and mess less. So you wouldn't need mess less. You could do it first thing in the morning. The Gemara says, "Loi, no, that's not what it means." Actually, what the Braisa means is the day that the baby recovers is stronger in this connection than the day that the baby is born. De'ilu yom hivoldo loy be'en in mesles. The day the baby is born, you don't need mesles, and you can do the bris on, in the morning of the eighth day, even though several hours are lacking till full 7 days or 8 days. And well, it's the eighth day, but in other words, full 7 days. In other words, yeah, the baby was born. Let's say Monday afternoon. You're doing the bris the following week, Monday morning, the baby is not even seven times 24 hours old yet. It's on the eighth calendar day, but in actual amount of time since the baby was born, it's only 6.5 days. And you're still able to do it. But when it comes to Yom HaVra'asai, no. If you ilu Yom HaVra'asai, be'in and mesles, the day that the baby recovers, you do need mesles. You do need full seven times 24 hours before you can do the bris milah. So the Gemara actually leaves the question open. La halacha, we say, because of the suffix, as the Rambam writes, whenever you have a suffix with a baby, whether you can malam or not, you always postpone the bris, because after all, the bris can always be done later, but if the baby dies from it, rahman al-islam, you can never bring him back alive. So therefore, the accepted halacha is that you need to wait the full seven times 24 hours. Which has an interesting nafka mina, by the way. You have a case. We know the Torah tells us that if a person has an oral in his household, he's not able to bring the Korban Pesach. In his household, no, not just him himself, but in other words, if he has a son or an eved who doesn't have a bris, then he's not able to bring a Korban Pesach. So now you can have a case, let's say. So you can have a case where earlier in the day a person could have brought a Korban Pesach, and now he can't. One of them is this case over here. Imagine, now, first of all, when we say, we don't mean, for example, if the baby was born, let's say, the baby was born 4 days before Pesach, it doesn't mean he can't bring a Korban Pesach that year. That's too early to do a bris. You can't call the baby an oral yet. But let's say, for example, you can have a case like this. The baby was sick sometime before Pesach. He recovered. So the bris was postponed. The baby recovered a week before Pesach in the afternoon. We're saying 7 days later in the afternoon is when the baby's time for bris comes. So what it comes out, therefore, is if the father chapped the rain and did his Korban Pesach earlier, right out, as soon as possible after Chatzos. So let's say the baby recovered at 3 o'clock in the afternoon out of Pesach. So if the father chapped the rain and did the and if the father chapped the rain and brought his Korban Pesach at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, then he's good. But if he waits till 3 o'clock, he's first going to have to do the bris before he can bring his Korban Pesach. Because now the baby is chayiv and bris milah. Yeah. Okay. By the way, though, the poskim do say this only applies if it was a sickness that affected the baby's whole body. We talked about this the other day in connection with when the baby is jaundiced, when the baby is yellow. If it's something that affects only one aver of the baby, then you don't have to, then there's a Gemara elsewhere that says you don't have to wait the 7 days, then you just have to wait until he's recovered and that's that. I think the example the Gemara gives us over there is, let's say, if the baby has an eye infection, where it only affects the eye, but a fever, actually, it depends. The poets can say it really depends, because a fever often is something that affects the whole body. And the expression we used in the Gemara over here is chaltzote chama, where chama means fever. So a fever actually would be something that affects the whole body. But let's say, again, in the case of jaundice, you have poskim that say that the typical case where a baby is yellow a few days after the bris is not something, I mean, it is something the whole body looks yellow, but it's because the liver is immature and is not fully functioning properly. So that can be considered something involving one aver, as opposed to if you have a case of jaundice for some other reason, where again, it is going to be something involving the liver, but it's not just because it's immature, it's because something in it is broken or whatever, then you would actually have to wait the extra 7 days. Okay. He's learning. Okay. Okay, so are we. okay, Mishnah says, Elu hein sitzin ha'ma'ak v'nes ha'mila. Now, we learned the other day that there are sitzin, there are shreds of flesh that, if they're left over of the orla, are ma'ak of the mila and make it possible. And then there are the kinds that are not. So, Elu hein sitzin ha'ma'ak v'nes ha'mila. What is ma'ak of the mila and makes it that it's not a valid mila? Basar ha'choyfes roiv ha'atara. If you have flesh covering the majority of the atara. So the Atara is the according to most Rishonim, the Atara is the ridge that goes around. You have the end of the Aver over there, where it slopes down towards the end over there. You have at the bottom of that area, there's a ridge that goes all around. There's a little area that sticks up all around. That's called the Atara. In English, it's called Corona. It's called the Corona, which is the same word as corona, as in what's been going on the last few months, because in Latin that just means a crown. So the virus is called that because it looks like a crown under a microscope. And this is called the corona, because it surrounds the aver like a crown. The Beis Yosef talks about the possibility that maybe the Atara includes the entire sloped area. Anyway, the point is, if you have left over from the Orla enough to cover the majority of that, of the circumference of that Atara, then it's not a valid bris. The Eina Oichel B'Truma, and a person who has such an incomplete bris, would not be allowed to eat Truma if he's a Kohen. Because a Kohen who's an Orla is not allowed to eat Truma. And like this, if most of the Orla is left, then he's still considered an Orla. The Imhoya Balbosser. Now, what about another din? What if the baby is fat, and therefore even after the bris is done, the skin hangs down, and it still looks like there's no bris over there, like there's no mila over there. So then, misakne mipnei maris ayin. You have to fix it up because of maris ayin. What do we mean by fixing it up? Rashi explains you have to cut away some of it because of maris ayin, so it doesn't look like an oral. The Rambam understands it, not necessarily you have to cut it away, just that you have to kind of tie it back to prevent it from falling back over. These days they tie it all. Well, these days I don't know, that's not common to have a baby where it hangs down like that. These days they do the Mila and Priya, and generally speaking, that's that. So you don't usually need to tie away anything, but I guess the bandage pushes it back a little bit. That's not really the same thing necessarily, but I don't know. Generally speaking, the idea is once the Mila and Priya is done, then yeah, it's going to stay that way. It's not going to regrow over. But yeah, in fact, that's one of the things the Priya accomplishes, is to prevent it from regrowing over. But nevertheless, if you have this Baal Basar, then maybe you would need to do something extra. The Truma Sadeshin actually has in one of his Trubas, where he explains that maybe that we're going to see in the Gemara din that Shmuel says in this regard. So the Truma Sadeshin says maybe there's a difference in this regard between a child and between a baby and an adult. Right, where maybe the Mishnah is talking about over here about an adult, and that's what Rashi is saying, that you have to actually cut it away, whereas with a baby, it would be enough to tie it back. A baby can be a Baal Basar also. A baby can be fat. Actually, the Truma Sadeshin deals within that Truva. He deals with a family where they all had, genetically in that family, they had something where the Orla is unusually like floppy or whatever, and covers more of the Aver than it usually would. And he discusses over there the pros and cons of what needs to be done. And in that connection, he discusses what Rashi holds over here. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. If you did the Mila and you did not do the Priya, it's as if you didn't do the Bris, and therefore the Bris is not valid, which has a number of implications. It means if it was on Shabbos, then as we said the other day, the Moyo can be Chayav Chatos if he doesn't finish the job before Shabbos, because then he did a Chabura, he did a wound, but didn't accomplish the Mitzvah. It also means, again, that if it's a Koyan, he's not going to be able to eat Truma. Even though the Mila... Yes, but you have two components of it. You have Mila and Priya. You have Mila, which is cutting away the flesh, and you have Priya, which is cutting away the membrane that's under the flesh. So you have to do that also. You have this membrane that otherwise covers the end of the Aver over there, and that has to be removed as well. In fact, Tosfos wonders why the Mishnah even needs to mention it. The fact is, if you left the Priya, then most of the Atara is still covered, because the Priya skin, the Priya membrane, covers the Atara. So the Tosfos Yom Tov says, yeah, okay, but still, the fact is, the Gemara in Yevamos has a whole discussion about whether Priya existed from the beginning, or whether it was only something that was given by Matan Torah. Did Avram Avinu only Mila and not Priya? So we might have thought that a Mila without Priya is still considered valid, and therefore the Mishnah needs to stress that it's not. Al Pichsidus, there's the idea. The Alter Rebbe mentions it briefly in Igeres HaKodesh Dalet, and then it's mentioned from there in various other places in Chsidus, that the idea is Mila, which is removing the skin, represents getting rid of the grosser tivus that a person has. Priya, which is a thinner membrane, represents getting rid of the finer tivus that a person has. So that's much more difficult for a person to do, and he needs extra siyata dishmaya for that, and the complete thing of that is only going to be accomplished limos mashiach. But as the Alter Rebbe discusses over there, it can be we can make it happen, in particular through giving tzedakah. That helps remove that lavush sack dak, as he calls it, that thinner and finer covering of sackcloth, which is the priya, which represents the finer tivus that a person has. Similar to yesterday's ayam. Mm-hmm. Similar to yesterday's ayam. Yeah. Okay. So when we said in the Mishnah, Basar Achoyfes Roiv HaTorah, Omer Rav Avinah, Omer Rav Yirmiyah Ba'ab, Omer Rav, it means also, not only does it mean most of the circumference, it also means Basar Achoyfes Roiv Goiv HaShal HaTorah. It also means even if the flesh covers most of the height of the HaTorah in one place. In other words, it's not just we're talking about that he didn't cut around the Atara, he only cut around a little bit of it, and most of the Atara is still covered. We're talking about even if he cut away around most of it, but in one place he left most of the thickness of that skin, that would also make the bris possible. So when would it be kosher? What would be tzitzin, chain, and machben is if you remove most of the thickness of that skin, most of the way around the atara. That would be tzitzin, chain, and machben. And we learned the other day, ideally, those should also be removed because zekei livan vehu. But we said if it was a Shabbos bris and he finished the bris and he had silicus yodav, he withdrew his hands, he had finished the milah and priya, then he can't go back and fix them on Shabbos because then he'd be mechalal Shabbos without accomplishing a mitzvah. Okay. So the Priya he has to do. That's what we're saying. Mila and Priya he has to do. But if after the Priya he realizes that there are still little bits of the Atara left, that little bits of the Orla left that are covering the Atara, but they're not covering most of the way around, and they're not, and it's not most of the thickness of the flesh over there, then it would be tzitzin, chain, and machben. Okay. We said v'im hoya bal basar chola. We said that if the person having the bris milah is fat and therefore the skin hangs down, so we said you have to be masakin it. So amar Shmuel katan masurba b'basar. So Shmuel says what happens is if a baby is very fat and therefore the orla droops down, royin. We have to look at it like this. Royin oisim. We have to look at it like this. Kolzman shemiskasha v'nirimol. If when the baby is erect, then usually the skin gets pulled back anyway. So then at that point he looks gemalot, ain't it tzarech lomol, then you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to do a second bris. The imlav tzarech lomol, if even when the baby is erect, he still looks not gemalot, then you need to trim away that extra flesh. So again, according to the Rambam, we would say that according to the Trumas Adeshin explains, according to the Rambam, we would say that it depends, basically. The Mishnah is telling us a general fact, Masakin, which is that often it may be enough just to tie it off. But if we're saying, if even when Miskasha, the Ein Niramol, then you would actually have to cut it away. Whereas according to Rashi, the Trumas Adeshin says the distinction might be between a child and an adult. Okay. The Masnisatana, in a Braisa, we learn the other way around. Reb Shimon Gamliel, I'm a cotton, I'm a sober babosa. Royer notes, so we have to look at the situation. Calls man shemiskasha v'ena niramol. If when he's erect, he does not look gemalot, tzoruch lamolo, then you need to do the bris again. The imlav, ena tzoruch lamolo, and if not, then you don't need to. Now, there's a key difference between what Shmuel is saying and what Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying, because Shmuel focused on the positive, that if miskasha v'niramol, then you don't need to do it again. Then he mentions the negative. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel says it the other way around. If Miskashev ain't near a mole, then you do need to do it again. So the Gemara says, what is my benai? What's the practical difference between these two versions? The answer is, Ikka benai, nira v'ena nira. What happens if he looks half gemalot when he's erect? According to Shmuel, who said that only if nira mohol, only if he actually looks completely gemalot, do you not have to do anything. In this case, he only looks half gemalot, because like half of it is still covered and half not. So he would say you need to do it again, as opposed to, according to the Shimon Gamliel, only if miskashev ain't a nira mohol, it doesn't look like anything was done at all, then you need to redo it, but otherwise you wouldn't. So it comes out, in other words, that Shmuel is more machmir than Reb Shimon Gamliel. In this case, where it looks like half covered, Shmuel would require him to cut it away again, and Reb Shimon Gamliel would not. No, because if it's only mipnei maris ayin, as the Mishnah said, then we're not talking about doing it on Shabbos. We're talking about the general dinim of bris that you would have to do this on weekdays. Yeah. Okay. We said in the Mishnah movalite parah that if you did the milah and not the priya. So now we're going to talk about the brachos that you say by bris milah. Tonan abonon hamol oimer, the one who does the bris says the bracha asher kedushan mitzvos if it's vanu al hamila. The Rambam actually has a shita of his own, which is that one question is, you often have the question, with some mitzvahs we say al such and such, and with some mitzvahs we say li such and such. For example, we have, let's say, al bir chametz, but we have lahadlik neir shel Shabbos kodesh. So what's the difference? Among others, the Rambam writes that the difference is, you say al for a mitzvah that you don't have to do yourself, that you could delegate to somebody else. For example, b'dikas chametz, you could appoint a shliach. As opposed to, you say li for a mitzvah that you have to do yourself. So it's not an absolute rule, because, for example, you have al natilas lulav, let's say, where you don't where you can't delegate the taking of the lulav to somebody else. But the Rambam discusses in Hilchos Brachos over there various rules, various details, various other rules. Anyway, the Rambam over here holds that if the father himself is doing the bris, then he wouldn't say al hamila. Instead, he would say lomel. The Shulchan Aruch brings that opinion, but that doesn't paskin like it. The halacha is that either way you say al hamila. Anyway, avi haben oimer. Then the father of the baby says, "Asher k'desharim mitzvah." If it's one alach nisi b'vrisa shel Avraham Avinu, that Hashem gave us the mitzvah to bring him into the bris of Avraham Avinu. Now, when is that bracha said? Tosfos discusses over here a machloikus between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashbam holds that bracha should be said first. So you first, the father should say, "Lachnisi b'brisa shel Avraham Avinu." Then the moel should be saying, "Al hamila," and then the bris is done, because they're both birkas hamitzvahs, and the rule is a birkas hamitzvahs is supposed to be done before the mitzvah itself is done. So that's how the Rashbam holds. Rabbeinu Tam says no. You do first. You do like we says, like it says in our Gemara. First al hamila, and then goes the bracha lachnisi b'vrisa shel Avraham Avinu. So both of them still take place before, but in the order that we're saying over here. The Rosh says, actually, as a compromise, what you should do is, and this is how we do it, the father should say the bracha between the mila and the priya. So the moel says the bracha ala mila and does the mila. Then, right before he starts the priya, now he has to do it, the Taz points out, he has to do it quickly, otherwise it's going to fill up with blood and it's going to be hard to do the priya. But as quickly as possible, the father says the bracha, lach nisi b'vrisa shel Avraham Avinu, and the moel does the priya. So this is how we do it. This way we're yotze according to both opinions, because after all, we said in the Mishnah, without priya, it's not a valid mila, so it can still be considered overlasias, and it can still be considered that the bracha was said before the mitzvah. There's also an interesting question why you have two brachas for the same mitzvah. You have, there are Rishonim who learn, the Rashba and others learn that this is actually not a birkas ha-mitzvah, like Tosfos is saying over here. It's actually a birkas ha-shvach. It's a bracha of praise to Hashem for giving us this unique mitzvah of bris milah. And then there are Rishonim who have an interesting take on it. They say the reason for this mitzvah, we want to stress that we did the mila as the bris of Avraham Avinu, so people don't think, for example, that we did it. Let's say some people do a circumcision for healing purposes. Let's say that's a common reason why they do it in American hospitals nowadays. Or, for example, some people even do it for l'shem avodah zarah. So we want to stress with the second bracha that we're doing it lachnisti b'brisa shel Avraham Avinu. Okay. Ha'omdim, everybody else who's standing there, and you're supposed to stand during a bris, by the way. They say kishem shenichnas labris, just as he came into the bris, ken kach yikonas l'toyra l'chupa l'maisim tovim, so he should go into toyra chupa and maisim tovim. The Hagoyis Habach brings a different girsa, not shenichnas, but shehichnastoy, just as you, the father, brought him into the bris. However, and you have sedurim that have that nusach. However, though, in the Alter Rebbe preferred the version that we have in the Gemara over here, shenichnas, because for one thing, the father is not always available, so you can't always say shehichnastoy. So therefore, better to always just say shenichnas. Torah chuppah ma'asim tovim. There's a few. The Rebbe once wrote in a letter that those correspond to the three others. Torah corresponds to Yaakov, Ishtam Yoshev Olim. Chuppah corresponds to Yitzchak, where the Torah tells us at length about his wedding, and ma'asim tovim corresponds to Avraham Avinu. There's also an explanation. The Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that a father, besides that he has a chiyuv to mal his son, also has a chiyuv to teach him Torah, to arrange for him to get married, and to teach him a parnasa, to teach him some kind of thing to do for parnasa, for a lot, for to be able to live off of. So that's represented over here by Torah, where he has the responsibility to teach him Torah, l'chopa, to get him married off, and l'maisim tovim, to teach him a trade so he'll be able to earn an honest living. So that's the bracha that we give him. Then the one who says the brachas says a bracha as follows: Asher kiddush you did me beten, baruch atah Hashem lekenem al chaylam. Asher kiddush you did me beten, that Hashem made the yedid holy from the womb. Rashi says yedid, which means the friend, means Yitzchak. He was already holy in the womb before he was even born. He's called yedid because Asher ahavta as Yitzchak. So the bracha is praising Hashem that he made Yitzchak special already in the womb and made him holy, and he was the first one to have a bris at 8 days. Tosfos learns that actually yedid refers to Avraham Avinu. meaning Avraham was special even before he was born. According to Tosfos, all three of us are being mentioned in the bracha over here. Choik b'she'eresam, continues the bracha, he placed a choik, a mitzvah in his flesh, because we know bris milah is the only mitzvah that's permanently on a person. V'tzatzav chosam b'os bris kodesh, and his descendants he sealed with the sign of the holy bris. So that's Tosfos saying that refers to all three, to all three of us. So that Yadid is Avraham Avinu, choik b'she'eresam is Yitzchak, v'tzatzav chosam b'os bris kodesh is Yaakov. It's brought, by the way, from a number of Rishonim that in the pasuk you have, Hashem says to Avraham, "Ves brisi okim es Yitzchak, I will establish my covenant with Yitzchak." The word okim is the Rosh Teva, so the words over here in the bracha, "Asher kiddush yidid mi beten," which fits with what Rashi is saying, that the yidid refers to Yitzchak. Yeah. Continues the bracha. Al Kain, because of this, Bishar Zois, for the reward of this, Keil Chai, living Hashem, Chelkenu, our portion, Tzurenu, Agos Abachad, which is how we have it in our Nosach, our rock, Tziva, or Tzave, Lahatsu Yedidus Sheireni Mishachas. He commanded, or command, there are two different Nuschois over here, there are two different Nuschois, whether it's Tziva, with a Chirik, which is a statement that Hashem commanded, or whether it's with a Patach, Tzave, which is a request to Hashem, command. It's brought that they asked Rav Hai Goin, which is correct, and he said Tziva with a Chirik, which is how we say it. On the other hand, the Rambam holds it Tzave with a Patach. And then you have Sidurim, you have different Nuschois where they have that Nusach. Anyway, Lahatsu Yedidus Sheireinu Mishachas, to save our beloved flesh from shachas, from destruction, which includes, first of all, from dying. Parshat, we're davening that the baby should live after the bris, but also shachas means gehenim. The Marashah explains, you have a Gemara in Erevin that says that Avraham Avinu stands by the door of gehenim, and any person who comes through who has a bris milah, Avraham won't allow them to take him into gehenim, because the schos of the bris milah protects him, unless the Gemara goes on to say, unless he had relations with a goita. Anyway, the point is that, so the bris saves us from shachas, from gehenim, and therefore we're mentioning that in the bracha, that Hashem commanded, or we ask Hashem, command to save us from shachas. Laman brisei asher samiv sareinu, because of his bris which he placed in our flesh, baruch atah Hashem kores habris. So that's the bracha we say after the bris, and then after that, of course, we name the baby and we say mishaberach for him, etc. Okay. Continues the Gemara, Hamolas Agerim, continues the Braisa actually, Hamolas Agerim, a person is doing a milah on a ger, so the bracha is different. First you say the bracha al hamila, as usual. Then the second bracha, instead of lachnisi b'brisa shal Avraham Avinu, the second bracha is Asher Chedushanim Mitzvayis B'Tzvanu Lomolos Hagerim. Hashem commanded us to mal the gerim, ulahatif mehem dambris, and to make dambris drip from them. Now, why do we mention that point in the bracha for a ger? Two reasons. One is because, practically speaking, many times you have a ger, as we mentioned the other day, you can have a ger who was already circumcised. He was an Arab, let's say, where they circumcise their children, or nowadays it's very common in America, for example, that goyim are circumcised or whatever, so therefore all there is atafas dambris. The other reason that's given is because the ger is, generally speaking, an adult. He's going to care much more. Baby is not going to notice when there's blood dripping out of him because he's 8 days old. But an adult is going to notice. So therefore, we want to explain to him in the bracha the importance of what he's doing, realize what a precious thing it is that he's doing, that it's dambris. And we continue, Shir Mole, dambris, len iskaim, or shamayim v'aretz. If it weren't for the blood of the bris, heavens and earth wouldn't continue to exist. Shenema, as the pasuk says, imloi brisi yoimim alayla, if it weren't, Hashem says, if it weren't for my bris by day and by night, and that refers to bris milah, which is the only mitzvah that's with a person 24-7, chukos shamayim v'aretz loy samti, I would not have set up the laws of heaven and earth, baruch atah Hashem kores habris. So that's the bracha. Then another one, Hamolas Avodim. If a person is doing a bris on an Eved, we know, of course, as we learned the other day, that an Eved Knani needs a bris as well. So if you're doing a bris on an Eved, Oyma Asher Kedushanim Mitzvayis Vitzvana Alamila. So you start with the bracha Alhamila. Because again, if it were not for dambris, the laws of heaven and earth would not continue to exist. If it weren't for my covenant by day and by night, I wouldn't have set up the laws of heaven and earth. So those are the brachos that you say by the bris of an Eved. Hadron Allah Rabbi Eliezer Demila. Interesting thing that points out in this connection, who says these brachas? One thing is the ger or the eved himself can't be saying these brachas for one thing, because he's not really a yid yet. In order for him to be a yid, he needs not only milah but also tvila. So he can't yet say asher kedushanim mitzvayse v'tzivanu. So the moyel or somebody else there has to be saying the bracha. Okay. Hadron Aloch has a couple of meanings. One of them is we will return to you, saying, in other words, it's not just we learned the Torah and that's it, we're done with it, and now we're going to forget about it. It means we're going to return to you and learn you again. It also means your glory is on us. The glory of the Torah that we just learned is now part of us. At the end of every perek, you have a little hadron. The main hadron is at the end. What? Yeah. At the end of a perek is an important part of learning. So yeah. So you have the little hadron over there. No, Rabbi Eliezer de Mila is just the name of the perek, because the perek began Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and since it's on the subject of Mila, and since the next perek also begins Rabbi Eliezer, so therefore this one was called Rabbi Eliezer de Mila in order to distinguish it from the other perek. So now actually we have a few more minutes. That clock's a little fast over there. I was just looking. So let's start on the next perek. The subject of most of this next perek is going to be food preparation on Shabbos. And at the end, we're going to talk a little bit about the dinim of muktzah again. So the Mishnah starts off. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tolin Sam Shameres B'yamtiv. Now you have like this. A Shameres is a wine strainer. The way it worked is it was a piece of cloth. You would use it to strain wine, to strain the dregs and whatever out of the wine. What you would do is you would stretch it over the mouth of the container that you're pouring into, and then you would pour the wine through it. So Rabbi Eliezer, now the problem is when you put it over the container, you're making an oil. You have underneath it, there's an oil. Now you're not allowed to make an oil on Shabbos. But because this is only an oil arai, Rabbi Eliezer allows you to hang it on Shabbos, to stretch it over the container. On Shabbos, he doesn't allow it. On Shabbos, you can't make an oil arai. But on Yom Tov, he holds, because it's a preparation from Melechas Oichel Nefesh. Again, as we learned in the previous perek, he holds that Machshirim are mutter on Yom Tov, even though they're even are mutter on Yom Tov, as we're going to see in the Gemara. So therefore, this is Machshirim. So therefore, he allows you to do that. And he says, if it was already hung up, if it was already stretched over the container before Shabbos, then you're allowed to pour wine in it. It's not considered borer, he says. Why not? The Ritva explains, because if you're doing it in order to drink the wine right away, so therefore it would be like we learned earlier in the Masechta, where you're doing borer in order to eat right there on the spot. The Chum say no, you're not allowed to hang it up on Yom Tov, because you would be making an oil arai. The Ein Nos in the Tloy B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to put wine into a Meshameres that was already hung up on Shabbos, because that would be Borer. Avon Nos in the Tloy B'Yom Tov, but you would be allowed to, if it was already hung up before Yom Tov, then you'd be allowed to strain the wine through it on Yom Tov, because Melechas Eichel Nefesh is Mutar on Yom Tov. Okay. The oil is underneath it. You have it stretched over the top of the container, and therefore underneath it, there's an oil. Underneath it, between it and the bottom of the container, there's an oil. Inside the container, in other words, there's an oil. Inside the container. Underneath, you have, here's the container. Here's the container, and on top of it, you have the Meshameres. So inside the container is now an oil. It's now covered up by the Meshameres. Right, but nevertheless, it's still considered that he's making an oil arai. So the question is, the Gemara says, "Hashter Rabbi Eliezer oisufi oil arai lemesfinan." What's going on over here? Rabbi Eliezer doesn't even allow you to add to an oil arai. How is he allowing you to make an oil arai to begin with on Yom Tov? Maihi, what do we mean? Where do we see Rabbi Eliezer doesn't allow you to make an oil arai? That's not. We learned in a Mishnah earlier in our Masechta. At the end of the 16th perek, we said, or 17th perek, we said, the window shade, where we said over there it's a loose piece of wood that is used to close up the window or a skylight or whatever. And so we said, Rabbi Eliezer, I remember, man kosher v'tolui, only if it's hanging on a rope, so it's not just lying on the ground, and it's hanging, that it's actually hanging off the ground. The rope is short enough to keep it from going all the way on the ground. Only then are you allowed to close up the window with it, because then it doesn't look like boine, then it looks like you're just putting it back in its place. If not, then you can't. The Chum say, either way you're allowed to. And we learned in the Gemara over there, that Rabbi Bachana Amar Abichana, Hakol Mordim Shein Oisin Oil Arai Batchil Beyamdav Bein Sarach Lemon Beshabbos. Everybody agrees that you can't make a temporary oil to begin with on Yom Tov. Needless to say, you can't on Shabbos, because Shabbos is always more chomer than Yom Tov. Loy nechleku el la hoisif. The machlokas is only where you already have an oil and you're adding something to it as an oil arai. So now Rabbi Yezer is saying you can't add it on Yom Tov, needless to say on Shabbos. So only if it was kosher v'tolui is he allowing it, because then it doesn't look like adding to an oil at all. Then it just looks like you're putting it back where it belongs, but otherwise not. Chacham say you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, even if, it, as we discussed in the Gemara over there, do the Chacham agree that it has to be hanging? Do they say even if it can be completely loose and not attached at all? Not hanging. Does it have to be at least tied on? Can it be completely loose? Whatever it is, the point is that the Chacham are more lenient than Rabbi Eliezer when it comes to making an oil arai. So what are we saying over here? All of a sudden, that Rabbi Eliezer is meiko and allowing you to put up the Meshameres on Yom Tov. The answer is Rabbi Eliezer sava like Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Mishnah says, "Ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos ela oichol nefesh bovad." The only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos is Melechas Eichel Nefesh, which you're allowed to do on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos. And the Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Matir Af Machshira Eichel Nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda says, not only Melechas Eichel Nefesh itself is allowed, but also Machshira Eichel Nefesh. Also things, for example, preparations for Eichel Nefesh. So in this case, this is a preparation. You need the Meshameres to be hung up in order to be able to strain the wine through it. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer would be allowing you to hang it up on Shabbos because it's Machshira. The question is, though, okay, but Rabbi Yehuda is talking about machshirim that you couldn't have done before Yom Tov. For example, Rashi gives an example from the Gemara in Beitza. Let's say you had a spit that you were using for roasting that got bent. It became bent on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to unbend it on Yom Tov, even though that's a malacha of makav patish, because without that, you're not going to be able to use the spit for roasting. But where did you ever find that Rabbi Yehuda allows it with machshirin that could have been done before Yom Tov? Here it could have been done before Yom Tov. You could have put up the Meshameres before Yom Tov. So why is Rabbi Eliezer allowing it? The answer is, Rabbi Eliezer goes beyond what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yehuda allows machshira eichel nefesh only if they couldn't have been done before Yom Tov. Rabbi Eliezer is allowing them even if they could have been done before Yom Tov. So therefore, in this case, even though you could have put the Meshameres up before Yom Tov, even though you could have put the Meshameres up before Yom Tov, nevertheless, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Although Tosfos says, even then, Rabbi Eliezer is not going to say that this is a blanket statement. He's going to limit it over here, where after all, what are you doing is itself only an Issu D'Rabbanan, because making an oil arai is only an Issu D'Rabbanan. Only making a permanent oil is an Issu D'Araisa, as we're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow. So therefore, in this kind of case, where all that we're dealing with is an Issu D'Rabbanan, only an oil arai, then Rabbi Eliezer is going to allow it. But if it was the kind of thing where the machshirim actually involve an actual malacha, then yeah, he like Rabbi Yehuda would only allow it on Yom Tov only if it couldn't have been done before Yom Tov. Like for example, fixing the broken spit. Okay.